It was exactly this time of year back in 2004. We were living in Florence, South Carolina at the time, but my wife Heather was teaching school over an hour away in Camden. So she would leave really super early in the morning. Even before I woke up, she'd be gone and headed to school. And I'll never forget the morning that I woke up, walked into the bathroom, and found a note from Heather that was attached to one of those EPT tests. And it said, "Good morning, Daddy. Call me." I've never made a phone call so fast in all of my life. And I was ruined for the rest of the day. I couldn't focus on anything. I was so excited. I was walking around, but I don't think my feet were touching the ground. I was just kind of hovering above the earth on cloud nine, because we were about to enter this new world called parenthood. And I was thrilled. And for the next 9 months, I did things I never imagined I would do. I did things that I probably would have made fun of other people for doing before that. I did things like talking to Heather's growing tummy every day. It was like I was talking to her navel. And I carried on conversations with this child that was developing in her womb. And although I didn't read all of those parenting books that she read, because I'm a guy and we don't do stuff like that, but I did read what the gestational development, what was taking place and how this child was developing in her womb. And I kept up with what was going on. And then the other thing that started happening a few months in was that the weight of this enormous responsibility started to settle in. It wasn't that the initial excitement went away. It didn't go away at all. But all of a sudden, that initial excitement of becoming a father coexisted with this dawning reality that we were about to be completely responsible for another little human. And that was scary. The fact that this child was going to be completely dependent on us. It was going to be our job to provide for her needs. It was going to be our job to teach her right from wrong. It was going to be our job to help her navigate the world and hopefully not to mess her up too badly in the process. I told Heather, we need to start saving now for two things, college and therapy, because I'm sure we're going to mess her up. And then, you know, the months clicked off and finally came time for her to be born. And when she was born, I remember being so happy at the hospital and wanting to tell everybody about my new baby. But then came time for us to take her home. And that happened far quicker than I imagined, actually. There was some comfort in being at the hospital and having these nurses around. But then one of the nurses said, "All right, Dad, I need you to go out, bring the car around, and I will wheel your wife and your baby to the car." And so I did what I was told to do. I went and got the car. I drove it around. I opened the door. I had already carefully, meticulously fastened that car seat into the seat just like it was supposed to be. And I walked around and the nurse handed me our baby girl. And I clumsily tried to strap her into the car seat. And I finally fumbled around and got it all clicked together. The nurse just sort of stood there watching me. I think she wanted to make sure I did it right. And then once everything, all the buckles were clicked, she said, "Okay, have a great day." And she turned and walked away. Now, I didn't say anything, but what I wanted to say was, wait, is that it? You're just going to, I don't know what I'm doing. You're going to leave me with this child? She just turned and walked away. And all I was left to do was get into the driver's seat and drive home. Now, I think this was the first time since I was 16 years old that I drove under the speed limit. But I drove under the speed limit. I was very much aware of all the cars around me. I was cautious. That drive home was exhausting because there was all this pressure of this life that we were responsible for. Now, over the years, that pressure has changed. I don't get exhausted from driving my children from one place to another anymore because the pressure has changed, but it's never really gone away. I still feel pressure for being a parent. And I know that I'm not alone because when we send out the sermon survey and we ask all of you the question, what keeps you up at night? One of the most common answers had to do with parenting. Worry over parenting, worry over small children, worry over adult children, or parenting guilt. All of those things you reported as things that keep you up at night. And so I'm hopeful this morning as we open up Scripture and we take a look at God's Word, I'm hopeful that we find a word that will be beneficial for us for this day. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Now this is my commandment, the statutes and ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, it's beyond you. Can you do that for me? It's beyond you. Let me start out by saying that I know it's beyond me. I'm not speaking today. We're going to be talking about parenting, but I'm not speaking today as any sort of expert, because the only areas of parenting that I feel like I have some expertise in would be, I think I have expertise in two areas of parenting. One, failure. I've had my share of parenting failures. And two, guilt, because I frequently carry around a hefty load of parenting guilt. In fact, I experienced both of those things as recently as yesterday. I got frustrated. I raised my voice. I felt like a huge parenting failure. And I carried around that guilt for the rest of the day. Maybe I'm not alone. Maybe somebody else is in that boat with me. And so believe me, I know this parenting thing is beyond me. I know it is. I know that this parenting thing is beyond my wisdom. I know it's beyond my ability. I know it's beyond my strength. I'm reminded of that all the time with my frequent failures. This week I read a good portion of a book called Parenting Beyond Your Capacities by Reggie Joyner and Carrie Newhoff, and a great book. I highly recommend it for all of you parents. Early on in the book, one of the things they say is this: no one has more potential to influence the heart of a child than a parent. I'm going to say that again. No one has more potential to influence the heart of a child than a parent. Now, this is probably not some new grand revelation for you, because we all pretty much know that our relationship with our children is extremely important. God has given these children to us to raise and to guide and direct. And we know intuitively that that relationship is incredibly important. There's no denying that. And there is no substitute for that parental figure, that parental role, because no matter how good they are, no teacher, no coach, no pastor, no children's minister, no youth minister. Nobody has the same potential for influencing your child as you. No one has more potential to influence a child's heart than a parent. I think that's why in our scripture passage this morning from Deuteronomy, God gives the most important responsibility, the responsibility of passing on the faith, the responsibility of teaching the next generation the commandments of God. God gives that responsibility to nobody else except parents. It's been entrusted to parents to pass on this, these commandments, to pass on the message. Notice what verse, what this passage says. This is verse 1. Now this is my commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land which you are about to cross into and to occupy, so that you, your children, and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I'm commanding you, so that your days may be long. Now, the setting of this passage in Deuteronomy is this. The Israelites, God has just delivered them from slavery in Egypt, and the Exodus has happened. They've gone out from Egypt, and God has promised them this new place to dwell, the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But they've been wandering around in the desert for years, for 40 years. And when we pick up this passage, they're about ready. They're just getting to the place where they're about ready to cross over into the land that God's promised them. But before they do, Moses has a message to give them. Moses tells them that God's given me a message to give to you, and that message will guide you from century to century. That message needs to be passed down from generation to generation. And then Moses tells them what the message is. This is verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is what's known in the Jewish faith as the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, the Lord is one. And you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These are the most important words in the entire Jewish faith. They recite them over and over again. In fact, they recite the Shema like we recite the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Maybe even more frequently. Because they've been commanded by Deuteronomy to recite these words when they get up, when they go to sleep, all day long. In fact, Orthodox Jews to this very day write the words of the Shema on tiny scrolls, and they cut compartments in the doorposts of their homes, and they store these scrolls in there so that they will always be reminded of these most important words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. They not only put these things on their doorposts, but they also make these, it's not really jewelry, these things called phylacteries. And they're made out of leather, they have a cube, and inside the cube there are these tiny scrolls containing the Shema. And Orthodox Jews will use those, they'll wrap the tassels of the phylacteries around their arm, and they will pray and they will recite the Shema. Or they'll put the Shema on their foreheads. And all of that comes directly from this passage in Deuteronomy. This is what verse 6 says. Keep the words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you're away. When you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the most important message in the Jewish faith. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Later, centuries later, even Jesus, the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, all right, Jesus, what is the most important commandment in all the Old Testament? What's the most important? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind. And the second commandment goes hand in hand with the first, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. According to Jesus, this is the greatest commandment. And how did God decide that the greatest commandment, the most important message in the entire faith, how did God decide that that message would be transmitted and disseminated from century to century, from generation to generation? Well, God decided that the best path, the best method would be parents teaching their children. Because no one has more potential to influence the heart of a child than a parent. See, as hard as we work around here to do everything in our power to influence, to shape, to mold the children and youth of our congregation, we pour lots of time and energy and resources into Sunday school and small groups and confirmation and retreats. And as hard as we work on those things, we know that parents have a much greater potential for influencing their children and their relationship with God than we do. We know that you have more power to do that than even all these things we organize and plan. And part of it is simply math. At best, we know that the children of this congregation will spend somewhere between 40 and 80 hours on our campus in a given year. The whole year we get 40 to 80 hours with them, time that we can instill the faith, time that we can teach and instruct and encourage and pray for and support. We get about 40 to 80 hours. Parents, on the other hand, get an average of about 3,000 hours. That's after you take out all the sleep time and all the time they're in school. Parents have about 3,000 hours. So when parents are reinforcing the message, when parents are praying with their children, talking about matters of faith with their children, like Deuteronomy suggests, well, then you can just imagine how the impact is expanded and multiplied because parents are working with church to have a greater influence. No one has more potential to influence the heart of a child than a parent. Now, some of you parents might be thinking, now, wait a minute. I thought you were going to help us feel less parenting pressure in this. I mean, all you've done is ratcheted this thing up a notch. Now I feel worse. I feel more guilty than when I walked in here, and I feel more pressure as a parent. So what in the world is going on here? Well, I do hope that by the time we're done, you'll feel less pressure. But I also know that it's important for us to face the reality about the influence we have as parents and the calling that we have, the magnitude of this task before us. It's a big job. It's a big job to be a parent. It's a big job to be responsible for another human being. But it's also a big job to be responsible for instilling the faith, to lead our children to fall in love with God and love the Lord our God with all their heart, soul, and might. It's a big job. But while it is true that no one has greater potential to influence the heart of a child than a parent, it is also true that a parent is not the only influence a child needs. So all you parents, take a deep breath. Whew. Thank goodness, right? It's true that nobody has greater potential to influence the heart of a child than a parent. But it's also true that a parent is not the only influence a child needs. Every time we gather around this font and we baptize another child into our congregation, all of us make a promise as a congregation to be present in that child's life. All of us make a promise to pray for, to encourage, to support, and to teach this child what it means to follow Jesus. We promise to help point this child in the direction of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and might. That's our promise. And we believe that in the waters of baptism, God is busy making us part of a family that's bigger than our biological family. We believe that God is busy making us brothers and sisters, parents and children of each other. And that's why Ann Shelton And Lee Randall and Carly Smith and Pastor Laura Allen worked so hard to get great volunteers for children's ministry and youth ministry and confirmation mentors. Because a parent is not the only influence a child needs. See, I know that parenting is beyond my capacity. I know that parenting is beyond my wisdom, my experience, my strength. I know that parenting is beyond my capacity. But that's why, and this is how, we as parents expand our capacity. We widen the circle of influence around our children. We don't have to go it alone. Because the reality is all of our children will be influenced by people other than us. So our church community and the waters of baptism give us a wonderful opportunity to strategically choose who those people will be who will influence our children. We don't want to leave it up to chance. We get to choose and we get to be a part of this community that is committed, that has made promises to be a part of that process. You want to talk about ways to relieve some parenting pressure? Well, that's it. We widen the circle of influence. I'm so grateful for all of our mentors, for all of our small group leaders, for all of our Sunday school teachers, for people who invest time and energy in relationships with our children and youth, because I know that there might come a time in my children's lives where they won't come to talk to me about something. They will encounter situations where, and it breaks my heart to think about it. I don't like to think about it, but there will come a time when my children will decide that they can't talk to me about something. And that's why I'm so grateful that they can come talk to you. That's why I'm so grateful they have Ann Shelton and Lee Randall and Carly Smith and Pastor Laura Allen, people who aren't their parents. Mentors, Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, people who aren't their parents who can offer them sound, godly guidance. As together, we all try to point our children in the direction of falling in love with God, of loving the Lord our God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their might. Because that should be our goal as parents. Our primary goal for our children shouldn't be that they make the right grades. Our primary goal for our children shouldn't be that they get into the right college. Our primary goals for our children shouldn't be that they get the Terrific Kid Award or that they get into the gifted program. Our primary goal as Christian parents should be for our children to have a deep and abiding relationship with God and to parent in such a way that we maintain a relationship, that they maintain a relationship with us. See, that's parenting with the end goal in mind. Now, those other things are important. Making good grades are important. Getting into good college is important. But they're not of the greatest importance. The greatest importance is for our children, to lead our children, to guide our children into a deep and abiding relationship with God. And when we parent with that end goal in mind, it keeps other smaller things in perspective. And keeps us from experiencing too much pressure and too much stress about those things because we can keep the main thing the main thing. And we can parent in such a way. We can't always be our children's friends. In fact, in these growing up years, we probably will rarely be their friend. They'll often be mad at us. But as long as we parent in such a way that we prioritize that relationship, then when they're older, we can be their friends. And we can know and rest in the fact that we have guided them on the path to loving God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their minds. See, according to Deuteronomy 6, what college your children get into or what career path they choose, those things are really secondary to knowing that our children have a deep and abiding relationship with God. So that they come to love the Lord our God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. Of course, there are going to be times we mess up. There are going to be times like yesterday, for me, that we fail. There are going to be times where we know we aren't perfect parents. There are no perfect parents. There's going to be heartbreak along the way. because this parenting thing is a big job. It's beyond you. It's beyond me. But by God's grace, it's not beyond us. Amen. Thanks be to God.